It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Philippians chapter 3. I want to look at verses 7 through 11 on a message I've titled, That I May Know Him. That I May Know Him. Philippians 3. When you get there, if you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now, God, that you bless it. Lord, anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to expound on this text, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The old Apostle Paul, with pen in hand, being inspired by God, he's writing down these words from a prison cell, most likely in Rome is where he's at. He's writing to a church that he had established when he'd visit there over in Macedonia. It's the Church of Philippi. That's why it's called the Book of Philippians. But I find in my studies of Paul that he really loved this church. I'm not going to say he loved it more than all the rest, but it sure does look like it from all the things he says about them. Over in the next chapter, chapter 4, he calls them his brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, and he says, my joy and crown. You don't just say that about anybody. I mean, he loved these folks, and he cared for them. He was very passionate with them and compassionate to this congregation. And he just pours his heart out to these folks. And if you looked in the verses we didn't read right above this, he gives his pedigree. He starts listing off all these things that he was known for back when he was more known as Saul of Tarsus. And by the way, let me say this, and I've said this before, but I heard a preacher get up one time and say, you know, that God changed Saul's name to Paul. Well, no, he didn't. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible started using his Roman name as Paul in one point there in the book of Acts and quit using it as Saul because Paul was his Roman name. He was a preacher under the Gentiles, and so he used that name instead of his Hebrew name, which would have been Saul, named after King Saul. So he had both names all his life. But in these previous verses up to this, if you look up at verse 5, Paul gives this pedigree. His background, he says he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. I mean, honestly, Paul was one of the very smartest men that you're going to find in the entire Bible. Now, we know that those other apostles and disciples that Jesus called that were fishermen, you know, the Jews thought they were unlearned men. I mean, ignorant men, you know, when they come and they couldn't understand the power that they had to be able to speak like they did. Well, they didn't understand God either. They didn't understand the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what got a hold of those men. But Paul, he was intellectual. He went through rabbi school. He said, are the best teachers. And he knew that law. That's why he mentioned it there. He said, it's not through what I have, which is the law, my own righteousness, he said, is of the law. Yeah, he knew the law back and forth. He knew how to keep it and what to do and everything. And he could tell you when you broke it. He was one of those that sat on that Sanhedrin court as they stoned old Stephen. He was the one that was in charge. That's why they laid their cloaks down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. But although he was intellectual, he had a head full of knowledge. Until he got saved, as smart as he was, he didn't understand the things of Christ. But when he got saved, and when God revealed to him the true, everything that's about Jesus Christ, Paul counted all that other stuff. He said, as dung. I don't want to upset anybody, but that means manure is what that means. He said, I counted that as nothing but waste, manure. And he said, all I care about now is getting to know him. He wants to know Christ. And all this other stuff doesn't mean anything anymore. Notice his prayer wasn't to be freed from prison. It wasn't what he was interested in. It wasn't that he'd be healed from all the problems he had, his bodily problems. It's believed that Paul had a lot of physical problems, eyesight problems, and they believe he had problems, you know, walking and all this. We get this from reading different things that he said in the text. And we know he had the thorn in the flesh that always bothered him, that he prayed to for the Lord to take away, and the Lord told him his grace was sufficient. But he had this, when he got saved, he had this desire, this thirst to get to know Christ above all. All this other stuff he was not concerned about. So he wasn't asking, Lord, would you free me from this prison? Lord, would you heal this old body that's been stoned and left for dead and stripes that's been applied to my back and all the suffering and the pain I go through? He didn't ask for any of that. And he didn't ask that the Lord would make him the most popular preacher in the land either. You know? All he simply said was that he may know Christ. Paul's desire wasn't to know the things of the world. It wasn't to know the things of the flesh. All he wanted to know was about his personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you tonight, that ought to be the desire of every single born-again Christian, is to know him, is to know Christ. Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was one of the most effective pastors to ever preach in the land. Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul probably had the greatest ministry. Peter probably came close, but Paul, besides the Lord Jesus, probably had the greatest ministry we read about in the Bible. I mean, he was able to raise people from the dead and heal sick and all kinds of things that Paul was able to do. He cast out demons. He wrote over half the New Testament. But the thing that he's concerned about is that he may know Christ. That's his goal. I wish that we were all like that. I wish everybody's main thought as a Christian was to get to know Christ. If we would get that in our minds and get ourselves right with the Lord, everything else would work itself out. You know that? We always worried about all these other things. Worry about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. And when you get that worked out, friends, everything else is going to fall into place. And so Paul, he wanted to be acquainted with the Lord Jesus, his nature, his character, his work, and with the salvation that Jesus had worked out for us. It's one of the highest objects of desire in the mind of the Apostle Paul. This brilliant man, he wanted to know Christ. Did you know, actually, if you look at the Bible and you start in the book of Genesis and work your way all the way back to the book of Revelation, you're going to find that this entire Word of God is designed that we may know Him. That we may know Him. That's the whole purpose of the book. So that we may know Christ. A lot of people have read about Jesus. You can read books, you can read the Bible, you can read a lot of things about Him. But they don't have a clue who Jesus is. We sung that song this morning, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Well, the reason that you know Jesus is because He knew you first. That's the only way we can know Jesus. You can read about somebody all day long. And you can find out a lot of things they did. You can read their history, their background. You can go on that website that has all the family legacies on it. I don't remember what it's called, but you can go on there and trace your background and find out where you come from. Well, I know we're Scotch-Irish. We come from over there, and we moved over here into the hills of the Appalachian Mountains and all that. But you can read about all that stuff, but you don't really know those people. You don't know them. When I was going through seminary over at Crown College, we had a 3-month class on the life and ministry of Charles Spurgeon. 3 months. I mean, this is 3 months of work. I listened to hundreds of sermons. I read book after book. I watched little video clips that people had made about his life. And I learned so much stuff about Charles Spurgeon. And I could tell you about his humble beginnings as his grandfather had to raise him. His family was too poor to even keep him. I can tell you about the time he was walking through the snow and went into a little Methodist church to get out of the snow and heard a man give the word of God, and he got saved there on that day. I can tell you about his great ministry he had there in the big tabernacle. I can tell you about that disaster that occurred in that Surrey Garden place, the Sound Hall, when some man yelled out fire and the balcony fell because people were stampeding. They killed 7 people. It almost ended his career right there as a preacher. He was so depressed. Charles Spurgeon went into depression. He had gout. He had health problems. He died very early. I can tell you all these facts about Charles Spurgeon. I can tell you all these things I've read and all the things I've seen, but I don't know the man. I never met him. I don't know anything about him. My faith's not in Charles Spurgeon. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know him. I met him. I personally know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. He's intimate to me. We find this same thought demonstrated in the lives of the disciples. If you look through the disciples, let me give you an example. Over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, you're going to find that the disciples are there in Matthew 16 and 13. And here, listen to what the Bible says. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, but whom say ye that I am?" You see, he wants to know what they think of him. "Who do you think I am?" he asked them point blank. Oh, Simon Peter, he's one of my favorite disciples. I love the man because when I see a man like Simon Peter, I say, boy, I've got a little bit of hope anyway. Because he was always doing something, speaking out first, sticking his foot in his mouth, jumping out of the boat, walking on the water, all these things, whacking off people's ears. But Simon Peter, bless his heart, he says this. He answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, the disciples knew Jesus intimately. They had a relationship with him because they believed on him. And because of that, God imputed to them this knowledge of the Lord Jesus so that they knew him. Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the one that we believe in. You're our Master. You're our Savior. You're our Lord." He knew exactly who Jesus was. I mean, no doubt about it at all. And so it's no wonder when Peter denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. When Peter denied Jesus three times, you know, he was going against everything that he believed in. He was outright, I mean, that man was sinning as much as a sinner can sin. Because we know for a fact, even the Lord Jesus just exclaimed right there that Peter knew who he was. So there was no doubt about it in at all. Peter knew exactly who Jesus was and what he came for. But listen to what happened after Jesus had told him. He said, "You know, when are you going to deny me?" And he said, "Well, if all men deny you, I never will, Lord. You know, I'll stick with you all the way." And Jesus said, "No, you're going to deny me three times." Peter didn't believe it at all. But listen to what happened. Matthew 26 and 69. This is after they arrested Jesus. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." Verse 70 says, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." There's the first denial. 71. "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Verse 72 says, "And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man." I mean, that's a flat out lie. That's a sin. I mean, you just can't get much worse than that. Verse 73, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Can you imagine how that must have made him feel?
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bayblay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!